Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings. Welcome to A Wonderful Approach Radio. This is your host, Mama Seven, and it's Wednesday, family. I think this is week two of the mandatory quarantine stuff. That means everyone's had plenty of time to catch up on all their shrine duties, catch up on their prayers. I know all the angels are like, oh, this one in the shrine duties. Exactly. Now's a great time to catch up on all of that. Let's get our journaling in. There may be a new prayer or two that you've been trying to memorize. I've been trying to memorize these 99 aspects. I've been working on this for 2 years, and each year it does 99, okay? So each year, the first year, I think I got up to 20. The next year, I got up to 50. This year, I'm like, look, I'm getting a tutor. I need some help. So if you need to get you a study buddy, whatever, let's take advantage of this time. Let's not just let it be a wasted venture here. You know, let's spend some time, you know, doing those detailed things. You know, I keep my shrine room immaculate. It is the cleanest, most organized room in the house. And so, but even I have been like, okay, what can I do more in this room? You know, where can I spend more time? Where can I, you know, just put a little more effort and energy into seeing how? So I hope that everyone, you know, not just, you know, catching up with a good book, catching up with some sun rays, also spend some extra time with your spirit, with your ancestors, in study, whatever you do. But let's do it. You know, everything should be getting more. The fact that this is mandatory is, everyone knows my opinion on this thing. I'm just so mad that you're going to come in here and dictate my time and blah, blah, blah. But I am the queen of the silver lining. I can find something positive. I don't care what you give me, lemons, rocks, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm going to find a way to make it functional, give it a purpose, and then share, you know. So that's what I do. So I hope even if it's mandatory, even if, you know, there are some people that are on quarantine because they're sick, you know, that take the time, let your body relax, you know, allow yourself to rejuvenate from the inside out. Allow your house to reflect, you know, how you're feeling and what's going on. You know, so take advantage of this time. Take advantage of this time to spend some time with your children. I love the memes. I think I go on Facebook just to catch the jokes and stuff because I love comedy. And, the memes have been hilarious. I love people's creative ways of expressing probably some very real frustration in the situation and how the situation is being handled. But, while we're home, let's spend the time at home. Don't keep your face shoved into the phone. You know, look up every now and again and pay attention to some of these people that you got living in your house and get, you know, let's get a better understanding as to who they are and what they got going on. So, you know me, this is what I do. And I do it with a smile because it's important that we see the advantages as they are because that's what they are. They're advantages. Last week's show, I got to tell you about last week's show. Last week, we spoke about the power of positivity, and we had a chance to speak with Dr. Adoma. And I was asking her about her positivity. What do you do to check in on your stuff? How do you keep yourself in that mode of positivity? And she shared with us her love letter. You know, this was a tool that she had used in, I think, a workshop she was at, a church workshop. And so it was very, very powerful. There's people that came on and they shared their love letter to themselves. And also people shared, you know, how the increase of positivity and love made their days better, made their nights better, you know, and just having this whole energy coming across. And so it was a really awesome show. You got to listen to it. And if you want to listen to that show or any of the other shows, you can go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page and check out the shows and listen to them. And they're very worthwhile. You definitely will come away with it. And, you know, I love getting feedback about the shows. And I got a couple of calls saying, you know, I am going to start my love letter. And I got one, I'm going to revise my love letter. I really want to look into that a little bit more. And so it was a really good opportunity for people to think and to really understand the impact of loving oneself, the impact of increasing the positivity around you, and some steps to go about it. So it was a great show last week. As always, I so appreciate all of the wonderful people that come forth. This is definitely a collective, and I'm thankful for that because it helps me really to be the best in me, knowing that I got people that are coming and bringing their best each week. So I really do appreciate all that. Pressed one, and that let me know, hey, I'm ready to join the conversation, and they did. And so it was really, really inspiring. And I hope that everybody, if you weren't listening last week, take a minute, go back and listen to the show so that you have an idea and a beginning steps for that love letter for yourself, you know, beginning steps for positivity for yourself. You really have to take the time to be able to do that. Today's show is going to be ever so interesting. We have one of our A Wonderful Approach Angels, Sister Melissa, is going to be joining us. And we're going to be talking about love in the meantime. And I know that these phone lines are already lit and full because they are waiting to hear what me and Sister Melissa are going to say about this love thing. And just because it's April 1st, we're dead serious. This ain't no April Fools right here. We are talking about that very real love in the meantime. And we're going to break that down a couple different ways when we get started. So I can see everybody. I'm waving to you, my little virtual wave. And really understand that we're about to dive into something ever so sensitive. And when me and Melissa get together, sensitivities are usually out the window. So, you know, buckle up, hold on tight, all that good stuff. We're going to be spending some time working on this love piece. And so I would strongly suggest if you're interested in joining the conversation, you might as well just go ahead and press one now because quite a few people already have. But let me see here. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you? Oh, I'm excited and nervous and all those good things that come with it.
We've done this enough times. You could let go of the nervous. You do an awesome job. I mean, I thoroughly impressed. Let me tell you, I have some beautiful angels. And they, when they say, oh, I got this, I'm going to do this, it's done. I sit back and I'm like, whoa, you did that. So after that wonderful moon show that you did, I have no doubt that we're about to bang this out 100%. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm just like, this topic, it's like, okay, first of all, I have to follow last week's show, which was phenomenal. Okay. And then It made me speak, which I've been silent on because of things that have been going on lately. And if you look back at week after week or week prior week, it's been on a love trajectory is the best way for me to say it. It's been the topic for a while. And this aspect of it is a little different. Yeah, it's a little different.
Has.
And I think, if you look back at it, it's like at least the last 2-3 weeks has been love, something, love, something, love. So it's I just like how the spirits line stuff up.
Okay, it's a perfect intro. And we always are a little different, you know, that we have to, you know, and I think what the difference is honesty. If I could put one word on the differences that are coming about, I want to say that this is an honest conversation And then understand these are spirit-led conversations. You know, we don't wake up in the morning and just say, hey, I want to talk about this. In fact, most of the time, the topics tend to be a little personal. You know, it can be a little challenging for the people that are speaking. So it's not like, you know, I don't think any, like, I'll tell you, I am not the love guru. I am not Mama Khadija. I'm Mama Seven. And so even the ideas of unconditional love, I'm like, no. And then the ideas of this, and so even some of the concepts, let alone the actual practice, are very difficult. So I think that you are a brave sister for coming forward and even having this conversation. So let's we can
well,
get started
me,
from there.
For me, I am no guru either. So that's
we'll
what makes
it
a little
together.
Makes it so nervous for me. But I have looked at love in a different aspect for a long, long time, and just recently started coming to the realization because of some recent experiences that I've been going through of love is beautiful and it's powerful and it's strong and as needed as it is can be a frightening, terrifying, it can do some things to you that you don't think would be attributed with love. And I literally had to go through something like that to understand.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to understand how to be more positive on that than let the fear or whatever it is that's triggering to take over. But we need to understand that there is a flip side to love that can make us do and react in strange, not healthy, you know, just some opposite of what you think love is ways. That's the best way for me to say it.
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. In the meantime is a book that was written by Inyala Van Zandt. And it's a book about being in between love. And when I first came, and this book is old, I think it's 1998 or something like that. So when I first came across this book, I wasn't just in the meantime. I was in the mean time. I was mad. I was mad at love. I was mad at people in love. I was mad at people who acted crazy because of love. I was mad, you know. So my mean was not in between. It was a mean time. And being that being a warrior princess, it was vicious. I was like, oh, pa 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 pa, and I had some really hard / harsh ideas of what love really was. And of course, all those things are natural to think, to feel, to experience. And actually, it's are really part of development. You know, this is just part of developing. But no one told me, and I didn't see it, and I didn't think it, and I didn't feel it, that love can take you down a road like this. And so reading this book, it helped me to understand more about the mean time, and it helped to take some of the mean out of my time. You know, it helped me to have more patience in this process. But I had to be very real about where I was. And the reason why we have to talk about this mean time is because a lot of people are in the mean time. They're not actively in a healthy, two-sided marriage. Until you get to marriage, we're still just working on it, you know. So there are more people in the meantime than there are on the relationship side. And we got to talk about what this meantime does to people. You know, what feelings are provoked, what ideas are, and let's talk about some ways to get around that on how to deal with it. So it's a very real situation. And, you know, a wonderful approach pulls no punches. We, you know, we have to, in order for growth and development, we have to really be able to look at things for what they are. You know, I don't keep my head in the stars. I'm very aware of our present understanding in life. So this is a real sensitive place for a lot of people to be, but yet we're here. So let's talk about it. Tell me about your mean time. You know, what do you, all the times that we've been there or we've experienced other people there, you can be happy, like just completely happy and blah, blah, blah. You can do that. But I know you know somebody who is just miserable in their mean time. You know, what have you seen? Yeah.
Well, what I've seen, and I'm not going to use anyone else's story, because for right now, for me, this is close. So so for me, there's the spark and hope of a relationship that I am definitely, you know, putting my energy into. And because of that, I realized on the flip side how trying this new experience for me is triggering everything that is all my anxieties, put it that way. It's triggering almost every fear I have. Like, there's long distance involved, and a certain level of trust and belief and honesty and communication and all these kind of things are going on. And most of those need to be met. Some of them aren't. And when you combine your own insecurities and something you didn't think you would have the opportunity to take part of is presented to you, and your reaction is, you would think to embrace it. Instead, it's more like petrified. So for me, my meantime is I had to figure out what was going on. And after talking to a number of individuals who I love and trust, and looking back at some things and having conversations with that particular person, I started to understand some things about myself that made me understand where this anxiety was coming from and how to redirect it and move on. And it's funny that you mentioned the meaning of in the meantime, because there's a book that I was reading that I absolutely love. It's a fantasy book. And it's got a conversation between two witches in it. And this is a bad tribe of witches. Really, you're not supposed to be liking these guys. They're really bad guys. But for some reason, I like this particular character, making myself doubt myself, like, why am I liking a bad girl? And eventually, they turn coat and become players on the good team, and you start feeling better about yourself because you just don't want to be that bad of a judge of character. And they don't have or experience love in this particular clan of witches. And so one of them asked another one. There was a situation in the book where the woman had lost a child, and in that clan, that's like the worst thing you could do. So the leader branded her unclean, and she told this to another one of her sisters. And they never knew this about each other, and they've been fighting together and in war together and all that kind of stuff. So she said, what is it like to love? And the other witch replied, and I love this particular quote. I thought it was just beautiful. It was like dying a little every day. It was like being alive, too. It was joy so complete it was pain. It destroyed me and unmade me and forged me. I hated it because I knew I couldn't escape it. And I knew it would forever change me. And when I read that, I said, Hot Diggy Dog. Well, I think that's it right there.
Okay.
And I can understand some of that because I'm looking at me and my reaction to some things that are different than they would have been in the past, and hearing feedback from other people about the changes that they're seeing in me. You know, it's helpful. Nothing is 100%. I think even if I got exactly what I wanted, it still wouldn't be 100% because such is life. So, but for me, it was painful. I mean, it's physically transforming and still going through it, you know?
Mhm. I do know. I do know. And it's hard to go through. And you said some key things right there. You said, and I have been writing feverishly. I was writing before the show. I was writing, you know, while you're speaking. And that's because, one, I come with pen and paper because I'm always in the mode of learning. I always have my mind and my ears open for learning. And one thing that you said that I have written down is support. You were like, as I'm going through this hard, challenging, turbulent time, emotional time, because all of us don't do emotions like that. You know, I'm a fire child. I do not do emotions like that. But as you're going through all this emotional time, it's like you need to have that support system in place. I can't not say it enough. And you said trusted loved ones. That's exactly. When we have our support in place, we don't have to. There's so many things that we don't have to take on the chin. You know, we don't have to take the full brunt of it. Our support system helps. Or they may yell duck. You know what I'm saying? My support system, that I got about a 2 second head start and they'll tell me to duck. But as we're going through this meantime, it's so important that there's certain things that we have to understand about love. There's certain things we have to understand about this in-between time. Number one, I swear if you have pen and paper, if you just write this down, I will be happy. Do not take the meantime personally. Do not take it personal. This is not an assault on your character. This is not an indication of I'll never do this, I'll never get that. No, don't take it personal. Many times we're in this meantime because either one, we're not ready for this relationship coming, or two, the person who we're trying to be in a relationship with is not ready. But this is nothing to take personally. Take the time to get ready. Take the time to make sure that you should be waiting on this other person to get ready. But don't take it as a flaw within yourself. And a lot of times, that's what we do. It's a personal thing. And it's not. Many of us, you know, just mathematically speaking, I don't think we will be all in a relationship at one time. There are aspects about ourselves that we need to understand before we get into a relationship. You know, we're not supposed to come to relationships, I'm this half, you're that half, because you're supposed to come to the relationship as a whole being, two whole beings coming together to create this union. And sometimes we're just not there yet. So don't take the meantime personally. It feels personal. Ooh, you would think it's you. You know, like they say, oh, it's not you, it's me. I'd be like, no, it is me, for real. So, you know, but we can't take it personally. What we need to do is find out what we could possibly be doing or possibly need to add to our growth and our development.
I was thinking of other aspects can affect people, other folks.
Mm-hmm.
Depression.
That's when you're taking it personal. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
Depression.
Loss of sleep, loss of appetite, controlling. Yeah, there was a list of things that people can be, like their characteristics can change. So if you start behaving just differently.
Yeah, it's called the bitter woman syndrome. If you ever want to make a woman mad, especially an African-American woman, call her bitter, you know, and you will get it. I promise you'll get it. But when they say bitter, what they're talking about is that change in personality, is that feeling of ultra-defensiveness, is the feeling of the lack of openness in relationships and in relating. And so, yeah, you're absolutely correct. Those things happen. And if we don't do the meantime the right way, we'll be stuck there. We'll miss opportunities to come out of this meantime and to be in relationships and to relate to other people because we're stuck in the bitter or we're stuck in just whatever gets you stuck. You know, you're stuck in the feelings of lack. Sister Melissa, I'm hearing some static in your background.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was on the deck and I think a bunch of motorcycle people were driving up.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So, but yeah, if you don't do the meantime the right way, if you don't evolve out of it, you can get stuck there. And then when it's time for you to come out, it's time for you to really experience the life, you won't have it. You'll be stuck with some other types of things going on. So we really have that responsibility while we're in that meantime to figure out what it is. You know, let's make sure we're not learning the same lesson over and over again. How about that, you know, for our own selves? You know, if you're just switching out people's names, but it's the same lesson, it's the same, and your friends can help you. Your support group, your mentors, they can help you see this is the same lesson we had to learn over here. It's the same lesson. So then we realize at that point that the growth may be needed on our part, not necessarily the other person's part. So this is all the things that we're going to do in the meantime. You know, are we carrying around baggage from other situations that keep us stuck in this place? You know, a big part of a spiritual lifestyle is cleaning. And I, you know, everyone hears me fuss and holler about cleaning up the shrines. It ain't just the shrines that have to be cleaned. It's our mental state. It's our mouth. It's our language. It's our thoughts. It's all of those things. All of those things come in the equal actions. So when it comes to love, we still have to do our cleansings and our cleanings. We have to remove ideas that don't work. Depression does not work. I don't know too many depressed people in happy relationships. So if you are going through depression, then we're now stuck in this meantime. To be in the meantime is okay. This is life. It's okay. To be stuck in the meantime is the problem. And that's what we have to make sure that we're not doing. We cannot allow ourselves where we are, okay? We have to make sure that when God opens up and says, okay, this is the person for you, that we are really ready to leave this meantime and go into relationship. But many of us aren't.
I'm sorry. I'm glad you said that because for me, after, of course, you know, trying to do my self-searching, getting my advice and other aspects I do to try to keep me from going off the deep end, I ended up sending a gift and adding some spiritual healing tools in that particular gift to the person.
Amen.
And when I did that, just doing that alone, I felt better. And I started to come back to my normal, regular self. And I could feel it and I could see it. And I just kept doing it. So that right there, that spiritual cleansing, even though
yeah.
it's not something that I did per se for myself, but the fact that I thought maybe this person could use this too, you know, to help with some things that they're going through, I didn't even realize it was going to make me feel better, and it did. And I know that
yeah.
attributed to that, just to that gesture alone, I know it's attributed to that. But I didn't
yeah.
expect that at all. So just by saying that, I'm sorry, you just refreshed that thought back that that is something
mm-hmm.
that I did, and I'm going to put that all on spiritualness because even on that level, it can flip side on you, and you'd be blindsided
yeah.
by what happens to you if you trying to you asking the spirit world or you're doing spiritual things to make love or whatever it is you're trying to make happen that's not quite ready yet to happen come too fast. The flip side of that, you know, it could
that's
be
right.
excommunication. It could be total, like, flip of feelings. There's a lot of things that can happen negatively. So even on that level, I want to make sure that everything that I was doing wasn't to be a forceful to put, like, I know what I want. Yes, I know what I want, and that's my intention, but I don't want that to be the intention on my action of what I'm doing. Like, right now I'm looking at a friend who I feel needs some tools, and this is the instructions how to use them, and I'm going to keep it just like that. I'm not going to put in any of my opinions. I'm not going to put in any feelings. It's basically, this is what you have. This is your resources. Please accept this in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, leave it that way. Just
mm-hmm.
try to keep it real neutral. And even though, of course,
mm-hmm.
I pray behind it and you know, send, you know, good feelings that way, but just trying to make sure that whatever I'm going through, I don't want to spread that to nobody else. Whatever I'm going through, I want to make sure that whatever comes my way is meant for me and not forced to, you know, by me.
Right.
So it's a fine line, but the fact that I
it is.
Remember to do that, and then it gave me some peace. I was just like, oh, look at God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I got some peace
mm-hmm.
from that, and I wasn't doing that for me.
Yeah, well, healing is contagious. I have had, you know, there are quite a few rituals that are for healing and therefore healing an individual. But I have found that all of the quote-unquote workers are healed, blessed, have all kind of wonderful things happen for them as they're helping someone else. So, yeah, healing is contagious. It moves up and down your ancestry. It is a wonderful thing. I want to remind the family that this is not just me and Sister Melissa talking. This is for the family. Please feel free, press 1. That'll let us know that you'd like to join the conversation, and we can build from there. But also, when it comes to this in the meantime, when it comes to love in the meantime, I need everyone to really understand and respect love, okay? Love is not something that we make, we force, we this, and that. Love is very, it can make you very vulnerable. There is an illogical aspect to love. There are some things that just don't make sense. I'll sit back and be like, what were you thinking? And the answer was, I was in love. And at that point, there's no more questions. That answers everything. You were in love. That means your brain was not operating. That means you had all these good emotions and hormones going through you. And your brain and the logic center may not have been open at that very moment. And so it creates this love that may not make sense to nobody, but you know, this is why they say all is fair in love and war, and it's true. You know, I mean, that's why there's something called, you know, crimes of passion, and I'm like, no, they crimes of crazy, and it's is not just a regular kind of crazy, okay? It's a passion. It is love on, you know, overdose, out of control, all this stuff. So when we talk about love, we have to also understand love don't always make sense. It's not, you know, I've seen some love combinations, and I'm like, if it makes you happy, you know, because I don't get it. I don't get it, but it's not for me to get because they have that, it's happened for them. And I'm just like, as long as you're good, it's wonderful with me. I have somebody that would like to join the conversation, Sister Melissa, so hold on for just a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Greetings, Mama Seven.
Greetings. Greetings. Welcome to the show. Hey.
Hey, this is Sister Faith. I was sitting here and I debated with myself, should you share? Should you share? My head started hurting, so yes, I must share.
Yes.
Everybody knows me personally, knows that I'm married and I've been married a long time, but there was a season of my life that I had love in the meantime. I was there. And I recall this season of my life, and it was so intense because I had to learn not to repeat the same mistake again.
Mm-hmm.
So I identified, I had looked back at every relationship, the last one before my marriage and everyone before that, and I identified the type of person I was attracting and what I needed to know about that person. And all those things, because they're all the same person when you start repeating it, is they're the same person, different face, different, you know, shape or size. But I figured out that all the things I would no longer accept.
Amen.
The things that were no longer acceptable for me. And so when I went through my in the meantime season, I enjoyed every moment of it because I was learning the things that I liked, the things that I enjoyed, the things that I loved, the things that brought happiness into my life on a daily basis. And while, you know, I ended up marrying someone who tries his best to stay is within my boundaries of what I will accept, because there's days that he's himself, you know. There's days that he's himself, but he, you know, I was very adamant about what I would not accept. And I think the most important thing in the meantime is to know, once we get over the depression, once we get over, because after you get your heart broken, you're going to get depressed, you're going to lose your appetite, you're going to be looking inwardly. But when you start to look outwardly at the things that you're allowing in, it's easier to say, this is no longer serving me, and so I'm going to sit it down. And the things that do serve me is what I will accept to come close. And I think that as we go through that season and figuring it out, it's very important to write it down if you need to, figure out a way to convey it to yourself, remind yourself daily that you are a perfect being sent here from the Most High, from the universe, that you deserve every good thing that is to come into your life. And when we start to remind ourselves that we are special, not special, you know, because, there's nobody else on this earth like you. And so there has to be someone who's especially able to cater to that part of you that is like no one else. And so I encourage you, I'm always excited to hear about people thinking about love in that way, because even in marriage, we have in the meantime seasons. You don't get past 5 years, you don't get past 10 years, you don't get to 15 or 20 years being in love. It doesn't always last. You have to learn how to constantly fall back in love. And so there's mean time seasons even in marriage. So I don't want anybody to get it misconstrued that you get to the, you get the ring and you get the name and you have the happy ever after and you go skipping down the path. That's not what happens. You have to work for this. This type
That's
of
right.
thing is not something that is overnight. It's every night. It's every day.
Wow.
A consistent action that we are taking that I deserve the right love in my life. Well, I guess that's it.
But that was some good
plenty. That was awesome. Thank you. Because I'm sitting here writing, okay, it's not overnight.
It's
every
night.
Night. Yo, science right there, okay? Science. And that is what you have to be walking in willing to do, you know. But it starts with working on yourself. Because if you're working on yourself constantly, then once this marriage comes, once this union identifies itself, you're already be in the process and accustomed to working, to challenging new thoughts, to challenging old ways. So you'll already be in this habit of going through that. So it will be so much easier than all of a sudden, bam, wake up, oh, I have to work on this. What do you mean work on this? You should have been working on this. This is a part of, to me, it's a part of adulting. You know, this is something that we need to be doing as adults. I mean, this evolution of self. But when you're dealing with expressing that with someone else, there's a little challenge in there. You know, there's someone else. There's someone else's timelines. There's someone else's thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And so you have to really be committed to the process for years, for decades.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take it one day at a time, though. You know, me, novice out here, take it one day at a time, okay? Sister Faith, if I could ask you one question, just one question.
Okay.
How much support did you have in your meantime, even in your relationship, even in the marriage? How much support is there?
There's plenty of, you know, marriage is a little bit tricky because you make a covenant with someone that you have to actually live this out. And so everybody can't be privy to those inner thoughts and inner things.
Right.
But when you have elders and you have older women and you have older men who are willing to guide you through, don't take them for granted. I'm so grateful for my stepmother, my mother-in-law, and they've both gone on. They've both transitioned. You know, my father-in-law, my father, who has sat back and said, hey, let me share something with you about marriage and about keeping a good marriage. My husband has several brothers, but his older brothers who have been married, his brother who passed away recently was married for 47 years. You know, they always gave us jewels to carry with us. And so my support system came from other people who had strong relationships and strong marriages and strong bonds. I couldn't necessarily look to my single friends and say, you know what this Negro did today? I couldn't do that because, you know, they're going to say, girl, come on, you want me to come pick you up? You know.
Okay.
But, you know,
I got me a special dagger for that. Okay, I got you, okay?
I got a shovel. You want me to come?
I got
you. Know.
Look.
but, so I had to be really careful about sharing those things with other people. But when I always had older people and other people who have been in long-term marriages and relationships in these type of covenants that help to teach me my part. Not necessarily I have
Absolutely.
A role to play, but my part in making it work, and spoke to
Absolutely.
Him about his part about making it work. You know, we didn't go with, we wasn't children. We didn't enter this marriage blindly. it, you know, there was a season of rose-colored glasses where you like, oh, it's okay. You know, and then 6 months later, I was like, you really chew with your mouth open? You're like, really?
Right.
You know, but, you know, it's kind of like once the rose-colored glasses come off, then what? You know, we start thinking in terms of building and growing, and that's always been my heart's desire, is to have a partner who would grow with me. And he's willing to grow. Maybe it's not as fast as I wanted him to, but he's been willing to grow. And that's the, you have to be willing. So my support came from the elders and people who had already been in the trenches. And I have a strong support system, if that's the question.
Yeah, oh, no. And it makes all the difference. Thank you, Sister Faith, for joining us. Thank you. It makes all the difference in the world when it comes to support. And, you know, this is why I'm such a big fan of this support. Everyone needs that place where they can put something private, where they can put something personal. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, this is where, you know, we have all this journaling and diary. You know, sometimes it, even it's just you and a piece of paper. You know, once you start writing, and then you go back and read and be like, man, did I really think that? Did I really feel like that? And it's so helpful to be able to reflect and to find out, yeah, you did. This is what you were thinking. This is what you were doing. And then we begin our own analysis of the meantime. But it's very interesting to know, even in the relationship, even after the meantime, there are still moments and seasons within the union where we're going to have to do this. So this isn't something, you know, don't fight the meantime for what it is. Gather the need while you're there. And I think that's the key, that, you know, when you're in the dark and all you see is dark, that's the part that makes it difficult, you know?
Oh, well, I was going to say, when you were going to ask her about her support, and she was talking about talking to the elders and the other married folks, I know recently I've been getting opinions from folks who have had marriages or are still married. I've been asking some opinions, not necessarily advice, but just some opinions on certain type of scenarios and things. So that put a smile on my face to hear that, because it lets me know that I'm not as crazy as I think I am, that I'm actually on the right track on that level. And having that as a part of the support, I just think that's an awesome thing, because I have such respect for my elders anyway. And as much as you know, the generations are so different, there are certain things that happen within life that are exactly the same as it was 100 years ago, it is today.
Right.
So
that
is, that is
feelings,
advice they give you.
Feelings are always going to be the same.
Yeah, that advice they give you is not only is it classic information, but it is human. It's human response and behavior. And like I said, love is a huge, monumental, powerful, all man seekers type of I don't even know if you want to call it emotion, a verb, a noun. It's so many different things. but it's just such a part of life. And so we all have some kind of experience with it that we hope is always going to be beautiful and grand. And but sometimes it just doesn't trigger that way. And when you were talking about the people who literally lose their mind and have crimes of passion and things like that, I had read somewhere that love creates a hormone, and it sounds like oxycontin, but it's oxytocin or something like that. And it can create that. So that, a lot of that wishfulness.
Oh, it'll take you through some things.
It'll
take you through some things.
People start to feel that kind of emotion, and then they have a threat of it not staying Yes. They can do a whole lot of other things to hold on to it, and that's another scary thing, because you got to watch for signs if you're letting that happen. Are you letting someone, you know, do things to you because you feel like you love them in a certain kind of way that you're accepting that behavior, or are you
or being afraid to lose them? Absolutely, being afraid to lose them. Absolutely. Mhm. Yeah. You know, and one thing I got to say about the whole mentorship, I have my youngest sister is 9 years younger than me. And right when I was in this mean time, and we speak, because she's in the military, we speak 3 or 4 times a year, not every day, not every week, not every month. But she said, you know, I got some words to share with you. Take them or leave them, but I do want to say this to you. And she shared some very valuable information about relationships. And then she applied it to me. I said, oh, okay. And I had to listen, and I listened, and I understood, and she was on point. And she really helped to shape a decision I was making at that time. So, you know, whether you're listening to elders, whether you're listening to someone who really knows you and is married, because she's been married for a couple of years now. And, you know, no matter what, the person who just came off that road might be able to tell you a little bit about the road you're trying to walk on. So just being open to words makes the words valuable, makes the information valuable. You know, one thing, you know, talking about this in the meantime, because we're here to grow. We're not every day we should be looking to be a better person than we were yesterday. And being in a marriage does not automatically make you a better person. Again, this is why we have to work on this, no matter whether we're in our unions or not. So as we're working to be this better person than we were yesterday, we have to really begin to be able to look at ourselves, do that self-love. We have to practice love. Love is not, you know, some of us have developed some bad habits in our years on this earth, okay? Some of us didn't start with good understandings of what love was in the beginning anyways. So here, we're starting off something so very important on a shaky leg, you know what I'm saying? We don't know what to do. We don't know how to do this. Although some of us have the benefit of seeing mom and dad in marriage and love, working it out, whatever, some of us didn't have those examples. You know, some of us are sitting there like, you know, buy me things. You know, you love me, buy me things, okay? That means you love me, okay? Unfortunately, there are some people, if you're not hitting me or yelling at me, that means you don't really love me. There are some people, you know, with some really warped understandings of love and warped understandings of in the meantime. You know, there are some people so scared, I mean, definitely afraid of the meantime, they'll do anything to stay in that relationship, whether he is putting his hands on you, whether he's out there with 15 other women, whether, you know, y'all are living in shambles, whatever, they're so afraid of that meantime. They're so afraid of being by themselves or having people see them by themselves that they'll do anything to stay, even in what is some unhealthy unions, okay? So we have to get past what this may look like. We have to get past, you know, I don't want, you know, I'm on my second child. We have to get past, but he pays all the bills. You know, we have to get past those things that hold us in unhealthy and free ourselves up to really say, you know what, but I'm worth this. I'm worth that. I'm worth being with someone who's going to respect me, whatever respect means to you. I'm worth being with someone who is going to treat me good, whatever treat me good means to you. So we have to find out what's healthy. What do we even want? You know what I'm saying? We'll make prayers for Mother Jenkins' health. You know, we'll make prayers for this. We make prayers for that. We make prayers for so many things. But when it comes to what we want individually in a mate, a lot of us never think about that. Or they'll think about, you know, maybe some high-level things, you know. Oh, I want him to be a man of God. Okay, and, you know, if you can't stand crooked teeth, well, you might need to pray for some straight teeth or money for braces, you know. And people, oh, that's just so shallow. On one hand, yes, it's shallow. On the other hand, if you know you can't live with it, it's not shallow, you know. So many times we, because we're used to dealing with each other's representative, we're not honest. We won't honestly say, oh, it's kind of important that I be with someone who makes me feel wanted. You know, it's important for me to be with someone who will take the time out of their day to text me, I'm thinking of you, you know. And someone's like, oh, that's so stupid and sappy. And who cares about a two-minute text? There's someone out there that does care about that two-minute text. There's someone out there that will marry you because you sent them a two-minute text every other day or however long. So, you know, we have to start being more open and more honest about what this meantime means. Be more open and honest. I'm talking about with yourself. There are people out there lying, not to me, because you can't lie to me. They lie to themselves, and I'm like, ooh, you know, lying to yourself gets you absolutely nowhere fast. So when we said we having this real conversation about some of the challenges of love, we have to have a conversation like this. I have to sit back and ask you, have you written down the at least 10 things that you think you need in a mate? And then, all angels know I'm about to say, have you shared this with your ancestors? Have you written it down? Have you spent time with your ancestors? Have you been like, you know what, ancestors, I believe having this kind of person in our family, because you're talking about their family, having this kind of person in our family would really benefit the family. You know, because marriage is not just one thing. You're combining ancestry together. And then there might be an actual product of it. Maybe a little thing may come of it, a baby. So it's like, you know, have you taken it to that degree to really sit back? We talk about support systems. Ancestors is the number one support system. You know, have you sat down with them? Have you really been that honest about what's needed in your life and how to go about getting it? So these are the types of things when it comes to, in the meantime, that we can be doing that will help us know what we want in union,
that
in love.
That love letter definitely would be a good starting point for folks who they haven't written one. Just to start examining your own self and, like you said, what is it that I actually like? What kind of treatment do I like? Like, you know, just off the top of my head, I like my hair played with. So, you know, my guy, he got to run his hands in there. They get tangled up. They get tangled up. I don't care, but I want your hands in there. That's just something that I like, you know, on a personal level.
Absolutely.
And you want to have other things like a long time ago and multiple times, I've had people ask me things about, you know, basically, can you just settle? Like, you know, they didn't say the words like settle, but the conversation went to, can you just settle? You know, this person likes you. Why can't you have a relationship with that person? And I always tell them the same thing. You know, when you're in a relationship with someone, there's certain things that you're going to do. There's certain benefits that you're going to have. There's certain behaviors that you guys are going to do. So if you're doing the boyfriend behavior, whatever that is for you, I don't know. I don't know if that's helping in the household. I don't know if that's taking out on dates. I don't know what it is, but whatever you're doing to show this woman that you're her man, you gonna want some reciprocation of it, right? You're gonna want something back that you can get out of it, right? So if intimacy is one of them, and I'm just gonna put it on that level, if intimacy is one of them, and I'm not feeling you like that, then what kind of fairness is that on that one? You got to be with somebody that you want to touch. You got to be with somebody you want to talk to. You got to be with somebody that you can have a good rapport, correspondence with, that you can. You really want to be with somebody that, you know, they can see the raw, down, dirty, ugly side of you, and they're still there for you. That's what the dream is. That's what you want to have. And there's folks out there that they can't show themselves, their complete selves, for the person that they love, for whatever reasons, whether it's negative or personal or whatever, but they just can't. And so I feel like that's a settler. That's someone who is allowing things to happen that they really don't want, but because they don't have enough trust that they'll get it, they'll just stick with where they're at. That's how I see that. And I feel bad for folks who settle. And there's a lot, I don't think a lot of people even realize it. But that's another thing that love can do. I mean, it can. You don't want to be, you know, like you said, alone for whatever reason, and you'll put your star on the first thing coming. You hang your hat on the first thing coming, and not necessarily a good move.
No, I want to add to that settling idea. There are a lot of reasons why people settle. Kids, finances. Obligation, feeling obligated and all that stuff like that. And because I'm not the love expert, I cannot tell you up or down, yes or no, I can't say it. But I can tell you, don't settle. If you're not feeling it, don't settle. Don't settle. I think unions, marriage, all that, I think it's worth taking the time to find the right combination. I think it's, you know, you're talking about the rest of your life. Take the hopefully the rest of your life. Take the time to find out what you really want. You know, take the time to allow this person to find out what they really want. Don't settle. Now, that's not the same as saying don't compromise. I've had to make compromises before. I have made compromises, and sitting here today, I can tell you, moving forward, I still am open to making compromises. But settling is acknowledging it, still not liking it, but you're just going to do, I'm not going to settle. And the reason why I say don't settle is because, you know, when you and a person are together, you know, and y'all two made that decision, okay, we're going to be together. That's you and this person, right? So when you and this person come before God and you add God into your relationship, that's called a marriage. And then I think anything, I'm not going to present anything less to God. Everyone, if you've done any rituals with me, any spiritual work with me, anything, I come top notch. I'm not going to settle. You will not get anything less. I will take the time to make sure that this is presented properly. And I'm not going to have no junk standing beside me, and I'm not going to present nothing loose, nothing junkier. If it's not the cream of this crop, I'm like, no, we have to go back. We have to get this a high caliber. And so, you know, to me, when you come to a marriage, that is it's an offering. If you and this other person are coming before God, and you, this person, and God are now in a relationship, you, this person, all y'all ancestors, you know, all your spiritual beliefs, all your, y'all are now all married to God. Oh, that needs to be correct. It needs to be accurate. And it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, we just have to all be moving in the same direction. And I'm not going to be presenting anything less than. If I think you can do better, I'm going to be like, bro, do better. I'll help you do better. But you got to do better. You can't go in front of God like that, you know. And so I don't suggest settling. I'm not into settling. And the only reason why I won't settle is because I know that marriages involve God, and I don't do anything shortcut or less than when it comes to the God responsibilities. So that might mean, and we've had conversations about this, that might mean that you have to wait in this meantime a little bit longer. And you have to be okay with that. This is why you can't take that meantime personally. It's not a punishment. The meantime is not a punishment. It's not the corner where you go stand in the corner. You done? No, it's not that. But the meantime is an opportunity for you to really learn what it is you need in relationships, want in relationships, what you have to offer in relationships. You know, it's really that time to get it right. Let's get this right so when we do leave the meantime, we're ready. Because if we're not ready, we end up, you're going to get ready. You're going to go through the lesson anyway. But we end up, we run a risk of possibly hurting people, and it wasn't their fault to begin with. If you've ever been hurt by someone else's past, that means they weren't ready to come out of that meantime. If you got to constantly hear about the ex-husband or the ex-wife, that means they have not healed from where they were. And we have to really begin to take that time to do our healing so that we don't have to worry about hurting other people because we weren't ready. You know, I don't ever want to hurt someone inadvertently. That's not my purpose here on earth. So, you know, let's take the time to do this the right way so we don't have to worry about that.
And we have time, you know. I know we don't know if tomorrow is promised, but we have time. So there's nothing wrong with
taking time. Take the time. And society may have you feeling some other kind of way now. Society will have you feeling like an old maid at 19. You know what I'm saying? Society will have you thinking, oh, you got to hurry up. You have to do it. You have to do it in this order. Society will have you thinking, oh, the man has to lead. And, you know, not all men do that. You know, not all men are leaders. Not all men want to take that front stand. Sometimes it takes, you know, a woman saying, hey, look, have you ever thought about, you know, before we go, because I can't believe the time is ticking on us, I would love to talk about fear versus love, because this has come up a couple of times in this conversation, and, you know, fear is the one F word I don't like. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here like, yo, fear what? You know, you got to go hit it on the head. And, I mean, I want to come and beat that fear up because I don't like it. But it's very real. And for certain people, not only is it real, but it's strong. You know, fear will have people living less than lives. You know, oh, I'm afraid. I mean, somebody afraid of rejection. Mm-hmm. Afraid of rejection. You're sitting at no right now. Right now you're sitting at no. All the worst you can get is what, hell no? Come on, try it, you know. So, but there are people afraid of rejection to the point where they don't do anything. They don't move. They're inefficient. And
Mama Seven, thank you for putting my business all in the streets. No, I'm just playing.
You know, I'm good for
that
it.
That is
okay?
A definite.
I'm good for it.
That is definite. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I am one of those people, and this is what this experience is showing me. Fear is bigger than love. So when love shows up, fear is like blah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm battling. I'm trying to work with through it. Mhm.
Yeah. 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 And I think when you add fear. And still you're fighting, I think that's called courage. I think that is bravery. You know, I'm not saying that it's all easy and I'm just a lion heart and I just go at it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm not going to stop because I'm fearful. You know, I'm not going to let fear, because fear is like disrespectful. It will laugh at you. Fear will have you up there being like, you know, talking smack. Oh, I told you you couldn't do that. And I'd be sitting there like, wait a minute. So, you know, that fear, you have to really kind of call it out, you know, say, hey, I recognize within my own self. I might be a little cautious because of this reason. I might be a little scared because of this reason. But I'm going to keep going forward anyways because I've done my meantime work. Now, if you haven't done that meantime work, that fear is going to have a field day with you, you know. That field is going to talk about you and your mama. You know, it's really going to put you in a position where you can't do anything. And it'll sit back and laugh at you like, that's what I was trying to do anyways. So this is why, you know, this is where our spiritual muscle comes in. You know, this is where when we have faith and know that God is working a master plan out for us, this is where that fear gets shriveled up. You know, this, when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, like Sister Faith said, no matter how unique we are, there's someone that has been made that is ready and able to handle our uniqueness. Whatever your little, I say I got special needs, you know, short bus over here. I am horrible with relationships, okay? At the same time, that doesn't mean I don't try. That doesn't mean I don't leave myself open. That doesn't mean that I don't do my work in the meantime. Do your work. Do your work. Recognize where your shortcomings are. Recognize, because once you recognize where the shortcoming is, you can say, okay, look, I'm ready for you this time. You know, you're not going to get me this time. I'm prepared. So all of that stuff, that's what we need to be working on in our meantime. You know, I'll take it a step further. In the meantime, that's when you can take your focus off of someone else and put it on yourself. This is where our self-love comes in at. This is where we're learning and testing our self-respect. This is where we're building our self-worth. So you see that meantime is necessary. Because if not, we're focused on someone else. We'll be focused on a superstar, you know. We'll be focused on Idris Elba, who is some other place, some other country, married, wife and kids. We would focus on him rather than to take that focus and put it on ourselves. There have been so many women focused on Denzel and his happily married self. Come on, y'all. We got to focus on us and get all of our self-esteems right, our self values right, you know, our temples, let's get our temples right, you know. And so the meantime is kind of like a garage, you know. This is when you pull your car into your garage and you work on you. You work on the things that you got to get ready for. So next time that garage door goes up, you're ready. You've done all your work. You've been patient. You have developed more compassion, which is where, you know, you're talking about your child. Compassion, learning to work with other humans. I've had to learn this slowly, all right? And so all of us and understand, just because you've been in the meantime once and you thought you learned your lesson, I think the lessons change every time you go in there, okay? So last time, my lesson might have been, oh, sister, you don't have enough patience. You got to get this patience. You got to get this patience. Okay. At this stage in my life with 50 around the corner somewhere, I got the patience part. There may be another lesson that is age appropriate, that is spiritual understanding appropriate. There's another lesson that may be now that children are not the primary focus in my life, as they're aging out, I have a different relationship with children. So now my focus may be less children-oriented. And so anytime that you're in the meantime, look around it like it's the first time. You know, don't just assume, oh, I already know. I know what to do. I know what to say. And don't assume that. Look at this as to what Spirit is trying to show you right now. Because I promise you, for you to be back here, there's another lesson for you to learn while you're here. So the lessons are not always the same, and they're definitely not the same for each person. So look around for yourself. You know, we need our support system, and they're here to help and guide us. But some of this is about kind of us seeing the problem for ourselves, too.
Yeah, I know I can take that advice for my own self. But you touched on a lot of different areas, and every one of them is spot on as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like the letter to the ancestors. With the 10 qualities.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, think about it. Now think about it. If you bring, you know, oh, hey, Mom, this is my new boyfriend, and she's looking at him like, dude, you already know. Go ahead and try something else. Try something else. But if she's like, this dude's like, hey, how you doing? Sit down. Let me get you something to drink. Then, you know, okay, there's a chance, maybe. So it's the same with ancestors. All ancestors are our grandmothers, grandmothers, grandmothers. And so let's sit down and share with our ancestors, hey, you know, I think these qualities, not the person, please don't say no person, okay? The qualities, these qualities I think would help benefit me. You know, these qualities of a mate will help to benefit me. And be honest. And then turn around as you write in your love letter, you know, look at yourself and say, okay, I want, you know, you may have ideas about the way a mate is supposed to look, which is okay, perfectly okay. But stop and think, are you doing all that you can with, you know, your look? Are we hitting that gym? Are we, you know, spending that time doing the self-care that we know we need? Because if you're spending that in the meantime loving yourself, I promise you, yourself is going to look a certain way. You're going to sound a certain way. You're going to feel a certain way. And soon you'll begin to not hate / despise this meantime. You will begin to really understand it as for what it is, which is an opportunity for growth and development. That's what it is. That's all it is. So let's spend that time building ourselves and to work on that.
I'm sorry. I'm just paying attention.
Okay.
I'm just like, yeah. Well, you know, I feel like because I have, you know, my strong spiritual beliefs, and I know that they are arsenals, tools, weapons against anything that is, you know, an adversary of mine, I know I'm calling on the warrior of positivity to,
amen,
you know, be at the forefront of my brain. I am looking at signs from the universe, from as forms of confirmation. I mean, every time I had a scary moment, a hopeless moment, and I called out loud for whatever I felt would be the relief of that pain that I was experiencing, it was with a matter of time, and I don't mean weeks. I mean, it was just a matter of time and the confirmation came through, either from that particular individual themselves or in the form of something that let me know I'm not, you know, on the wrong track, I'm not making a fool of myself, I'm not, you know, this is worth pursuing, that kind of thing. Because, you know, that fear makes you not want to pursue anything. So,
yes, it will.
I'm glad to know that I can, it's hard for me to form the words because I don't know the words just yet, but I want to say that I have a stronger faith, belief, confidence that I am hearing God, for lack of a better word. I am hearing, I'm hearing the advice, you know, I'm getting answers to my questions, and I'm seeing it, you know, for what it is. It's like, yeah, you're on this side of it. This is the side that they're on. So even though it's not coming the way you want to have it, yeah, you're getting it. You need to see it through this glass, or you need to see it in this angle, or, you know, your viewpoint is here and it needs to be up there. But they are in sight that it is happening. You know, stop doubting and just keep getting healthy. Like, that's how I see it.
Amen. That's a wonderful way to feel. It's unbelievable, but this time has ticked on us. I really, really, really appreciate you, Sister Melissa, having this conversation with me. This is not an easy conversation. It's not an easy acknowledgement of vulnerabilities, of the need for healing. And I can tell you, everyone on this packed phone line is in need of healing in this manner. Everyone needs to understand that is going to listen in later will have to go through their meantime, whether you're in a marriage or not. You will have to go through this time period of self-reflection, of self-healing, of self-esteem building, a self-love having, all of these things. You'll have to go through this. And the sooner, the better, the more efficient. Don't rush this. Don't rush it. The sooner that we go through it and spend the time in this meantime that's needed, the better we will do when we are actually in our relationships. And so, you know, we had a chance to talk about, number one, not taking it personally. Everyone has to do it. We spoke about, you know, love being love. It's a little illogical. It has may have you doing some crazy things, and it's murder on the heart, you know. It makes the heart pump fast only to have it burst on you, you know. It is one of those things that we really have to learn how to manage in this lifetime, but it truly is our responsibility to manage it. I beg you, do not close off that chakra. Do not become closed in to where you don't allow yourself the relationship or the experience or the blessings that come with it. Every relationship, I have not had many, but every relationship that I've had has taught me a lot about myself. Every single time I came back, I was like, you know what? I didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I could be that patient. I didn't know I could be that loving, or I didn't know I could be that strong. Whatever it was, the relationship ended up teaching me about me. And I was okay with the lesson. I was okay with how it had to transpire. I had to accept it as valuable. So I beg of everyone, do not close that door. Don't think you're going to be stuck in the meantime forever. Just do the work while you're there so that you can leave the meantime. Sister Melissa, it's hard to imagine. It is prayer time, though. It is 9:20, I think 5. It's time for us to you know, thank God and to have those words, because anything that we bring God into is a positive thing. So through all of these lessons, it becomes a positive experience when we bring that prayer piece in. So would you like the pleasure of praying us out and ending our wonderful, wonderful program tonight?
I sure will.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Father God, Mother Goddess, I want to thank you for bringing this community together to be able to talk about topics like these and other wonderful topics to help us enrich our lives and get closer to you so we can be better on this earth and just do your will and just be better to one another. During this time of the coronavirus and everybody has to hunker down and be together but not together at the same time, I want us to have them, people who are affected by it, I don't care if it's financially, physically, however way it's touched your lives, uplift the folks who are going through it, protect us all. Just for the listeners on the call and the different houses and families that we're touching tonight, let these words of, you know, keeping yourself on the positive when you're in the middle of something not so great, let us remember that we can always count on you, that you have angels around us and protections and spirit guides and other entities that are there for us to help us through these times. Remember that. Help us remember that you're there, that we are not lost, that we are connected through you, and that we have a responsibility to one another. When we are going through our dark moments and we are going through self-doubt and we need someone to listen, thank you for having our community available to us. And for those who not quite sure who they could go to, you know who it is. The folks who are on your side even when you're wrong and can show you how to get right. You want to be able to listen to those voices. That's who the voices that God is talking through. So, God, thank you again for a wonderful approach, for this Blog Talk Radio, for Mama 7, and all of us on the call. Have a great day, a great night, and I hope that we do right by you. Ashe.
Ashe.